this gospel is one often I have great trepidation preaching about, because I want there to be the proper balance, not to focus on the demonic darkness that is, of course, in this gospel, but instead the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that illumineth all. And obviously the demons are put to flight by Christ himself. One thing is truly abundantly clear in this gospel is that we do have a true adversary in the form of Satan and his minions. Now, I should start by saying I don't want the curiosity relating to them, the complexity of their existence, or things like this to outshadow, of course, our risen Savior who has conquered these preternatural forces, if you will. And on a side note, the whole notion of the devil made me do it is something that is quite foreign to the ethos of Orthodoxy. Instead, we realize, of course, that what is propagated of what the demons are through Hollywood or false faiths, things like this, cannot really touch the subject matter. It's really through the voice of the church, the very fathers themselves, the lives of the saints, who did combat against the demons, and that is how we see who they really are in light of our salvation. Now, we know first and foremost, Satan was the instigator of the fall of man. When we look at our tradition and, of course, the Holy Scriptures, this is abundantly clear. We see that even in the Old Testament, these forces were at work. In the book of Deuteronomy, we see Moses himself was clearly aware of the existence of evil spirits and their operation in this world. We see the righteous Job, the very hardships that he had. And of course, many of these were attributed to the evil one and his minions. We see in the New Testament, of course, the freeing of the people from the work of the devil is really the first work that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did when he entered his public ministry, if you will. We see throughout the Gospels, of course, many stories where we see demonic forces at work, but then the people being freed and liberated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This, of course, would be the healing of the possessed youth in the Gospel of Matthew, the daughter of the Canaanite woman in the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus prepared his disciples to drive out demons. And, of course, we see in the Gospel of Luke that he sent them out in pairs so they could exorcise those that were afflicted by demonic forces, preparing them for baptism. So this is a very controversial subject because, of course, in the eyes of the world, this stuff does not exist. Man in his pride thinks that they understand everything. They have relegated these things like demonic possession and oppression to psychological maladies. And this is not the case at all. If there's anything I can say with certainty, when we look at the patristic literature of the church, the fathers always made a clear distinction between mental illness and such afflictions of the mind, and of course, satanic hardships. So our church tradition is very much immersed in how the mystical reality we live in operates. And unfortunately, the demons are very real. Now, they, of course, are our adversaries. They wage war against us. But we should not be too preoccupied with thinking about them. This is a trap that some people fall into, or blame all of our hardships in day-to-day life on the demons. We have enough propensity for falling through our own passions that we should not blame all misfortunes on the evil one. However, these infernal forces are indeed real. St. John Cassian, one of the great fathers of the church, if you reach out and look into his literature and what he had to say, I mean, it's incredible. It really echoes the Holy Gospel. But then he also goes into the spiritual experiences of those men and women, these desert dwellers and so forth, that really did hand-to-hand combat with these forces. And he tells us in his teachings that the enemy is within ourselves. There is truly an invisible war taking place. And if the interior evil is defeated, then the external foe really has no power over us. So meaning that these external forces, these demonic spirits, if you will, can't really touch us in the way we think they can if we uproot those passions that are in our hearts. If the passion is there, they can exploit it. And they will do so primarily through the world of thoughts. St. John continues and tells us that when we have hardships of thought, they certainly can be attributed to the demons, but also other causes as well. He tells us through our temptations, the first and foremost cause of thoughts of an impure nature in man that lead him away from Christ is through the ancestral sin itself, the very fall of man, if you will. Second is his senses. So if we do not keep our senses in line with the spiritual life, whether it's taste or hearing, touch, things like this, that can instigate fall, thoughts that cause us to fall. He says the third cause is passions. And those passions in us will give way to many temptations. But he tells us also the fourth and primary cause of evil thoughts that lead man away from Christ are the demons. So we take to heart what is going on in this gospel and what the tradition of the church tells us. The demons themselves use the thoughts as the forerunners to the passions. If we learn to uproot the passions through frequent confession, reception of the holy mysteries, a real avid prayer life, these things have a hard time touching down to the essence of our very being. They're put to flight at the sign of the cross. So it's a good wake-up call to have this gospel on the calendar, because it alarms us and tells us to awake from our slumber. That if our passions are not cured, if they're not uprooted, we can indeed become the plaything of wicked spirits. Now, digging in a little deeper, when I was preparing for this sermon, I was trying to come up with a brief paragraph summary of what the fathers say the demons are. So I turned not only to Holy Scripture, but to the Philokalia and other works of our church. Because we see that if we read the lives of the saints and their sayings, it's not an obscure thing to see them talk about demonic activity in their lives. Instead, they are very formal and open about it and tell us that this is a reality. So according to St. John Damascene, basically the angels, the negative angels, are spiritual beings ever moving. They're free, they're bodiless, but they have turned away from God through their fall. They are producers of seductive fantasies and deceits. They are purveyors of torment to those who lead a spiritual life. They are evil, and they are evil alone. They are tempters who attack the spiritual man, seeking his ruin. They are bitter beings with an intellect who try to ensnare whoever will fall at their feet by arousing, instigating, and feeding the very passions themselves. They use subtle suggestions via the thoughts, and they are disobedient from the beginning. They are lovers of corruption, pestering the spiritual seeker with these suggestions. They attempt to capture the soul by violence itself and lead the heart, the faint-hearted off the spiritual path. They are murderers of spirit, provoking the soul which is not in Christ. They wish to do one thing, destroy the soul of every man, because he is created in the image of God and seeks to activate the likeness through the church. So we have that kind of understanding of what they are, and we realize where our battle is taking place. We realize that it is through our ascetic struggle, through things like prayer and fasting, the two wings, if you will, that lead us to heaven by moderation, through obtaining the grace of God through prayer. If we have a prayer life, we are communicating with God. We are dwelling with his grace. When we have those sinful inclinations and thoughts and actions, if we turn to God at once and make the sign of the cross and don't look back, and then, of course, bring it to confession, our hearts will become pure. And perhaps more than anything, reception of the divine holy mysteries, where the body and blood of Christ is received by us, and we dwell with Christ, and we are healed of our afflictions, both body and soul. And if we take this regimen, which has been given to us through the fathers, and it's the same regimen throughout the years, we will overcome these adversaries through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we hear about things like exorcism, blessing homes that are afflicted by demons, and this stuff is real. It's something that priests do have to, from time to time, intercede and go to help parishioners and those that seek such assistance, because these forces are indeed real. Now, back to the gospel itself, we see that there is an incredible spiritual battle taking place here with these demons. Now, we see that with a mere word, our Christ tells them to depart. And these demons, of course, they have to depart, because he is the God-man, Jesus Christ, and has dominion over all creation. And this extends not only from the physical, but to the spiritual world. This is really important, because when we see what St. John Chrysostom and Blessed Theophylact and a lot of these fathers had to say about this passage, it reveals something very, very intense. That when we see these demons wishing to depart, where do they go? They go to the realm of unritual cleanliness, the abode of darkness, things like this. They do not wish to seek to be with our Lord, but flee from him. And in doing so, they show that their time is come and Christ has dominion over them. They must listen to his command, and they are damned because they have freely chosen to turn away from God and live a life in the spiritual realm, if you will, in darkness, forever tempting humans who will come to this world. Now, this is a great lesson for us, because like those who are possessed in this gospel, we see that if we are given full freedom to do everything we wish regarding the passions, we will become ensnared and will become possessed not only by the passions themselves, but the spiritual forces that are instigating those passions. And this is why it's so important that we uproot those things, those unnatural impulses of the soul that lead us to illicit behavior that separates us from, of course, the fullness of Christ. We have to keep guard over our minds, be watchful, and this gospel is such a wake-up call to that. These forces, of course, produced by the father of lies, seek one thing, and of course, that is none other than our ruin. Now that I've spoken, of course, about the darkness in this gospel, I have to bring to light what really matters in the gospel. It's not even the demons themselves. They have been crushed underfoot by our risen Savior. Instead, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to restore man to his lost capacity. And this includes dominating and expelling those spiritual forces that seek our ruin. Through Christ, there's nothing for us to worry about. There's no reason, not in an arrogant way, not to fear the demons, but to realize their power is minimal. That they have been trimmed underfoot by our Savior. That their time is short. And of course, for eternity, they will be separated from God. So it's up to us to decide, who do we worship? Is it ourselves and our passions, and ultimately aligning ourselves with the kingdom of darkness? Or do we align ourselves with the forces of light, ultimately our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Christ hung on that cross. We have to realize, as St. John Chrysostom tells us, the devil became a corpse as a result. Christ was on the cross, and salvation was given to the entire world. He crushed underfoot the wiles of the evil one, and of course, what had happened since the fall of man. He once again restored us, so we are not to be afflicted by these forces. Christ is the light that illumineth all, and expels these forces. The evil one fears the cross. They know their time is short, and they flee at the sign of this cross, because they know they are powerless against it. That's why we see in the lives of the saints, many of these things, when they appeared, of course, to someone who was in prayer, they would make the sign of the cross, and this wicked being would have to flee from them. We have this power in ourselves, because we are Christians. We can put the demons to flight by making the sign of the cross and living the life of the gospel in totality. Their reign has been shattered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and of course, through his unending love for mankind, he has restored us from this fallenness. So my challenge to you and myself today is to kind of look in the mirror and say, what is causing me to stumble? If we are having issues, if we are having spiritual maladies, why is that? Is there something that we're too embarrassed to confess? That's something that happens quite often. Are we struggling with a particular sin, and we just don't want to talk about it, we want to ignore it? Those are the recipes for disaster, where that particular sin can really become an entrenched behavior, and of course a passion that can grow. But if we turn to God, if we get up every day if we fall, even if it's every single day, we do not look back, and we keep keep our gaze fixed on our risen Savior, there is nothing to fear. And essentially, that's the message of this gospel. Instead of getting hung up on the demonic activity, let us look at the power of Christ that is there. He undoes these forces so that we can have life and we can have it more abundantly in Him. Now, the outside world, of course, thinks this is all nonsense. They may not believe in Christ or even think that the demons exist. But we have to choose sides. The kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. So on this day, look at yourselves. I know I'm going to look at myself. And try to understand where our flaws are. And turn to Christ at once. And no demonic force will ever be able to ensnare you.